Hello there, I'm Richard, and welcome back to this episode of Sociology A-Level Revision. And today we're going to look at documents. So documents tend to provide a qualitative data so that they are preferable to interpretists. And common types of documents include personal and public documents. Now, personal are usually private documents created by the person's own use. This can be things such as letters, diaries, emails, or pupils' school reports and medical files. Public documents are produced for public consumption. So these can be things like any reports that are produced by governments, charities, businesses, maybe things that are in the media, also like novels and autobiographies. Now, Scott in 1990 suggested that four criteria were important for establishing the value of public and private documents. Firstly, authenticity. So is the document genuine or a forgery? And secondly, is credibility. So is the evidence believable, sincere, and honest? He also thought it was important to look at representativeness. So is the document typical of those appearing at the time? And the meaning of the document. So do the documents have the same meaning now as they did when they were first produced? So remember the person that talked about those four things you should look for when you're looking for document, looking at documents, was Scott, and he talked about that in 1990. So remember, there are some features of documents that are important to think about. First, and also make them useful. So first of all, they provide qualitative data. They include personal and public documents, and they are preferred by interpretists. Now, documents tend to provide qualitative data, so they are preferred by interpretivists. Common types of document include personal and public documents. Now, some advantages are that they are already available and therefore cheap to use, and they may be the only data available for certain types of research. For example, if you're looking at a certain period of history, you can't collect live data now. Now, they also provide valid and in-depth qualitative data, providing insights into the attitudes, values, and meanings of those people who produce them. Now, there are also no ethical issues involved, as public documents are readily available to anyone who wants to use them. Some disadvantages are that documents may not be genuine, especially if they are personal historical documents. Their meaning might have changed over time, so we might not understand completely what they mean. They may not be representative, so findings cannot be generalized. And using private documents without permission can cause ethical problems related to consent. They may also not be reliable or valid. So, for example, a government report might use data in a biased way, particularly certain parts of history where maybe governments were less likely to get caught out and misusing data than they are nowadays. There's also newspapers, they might be biased towards a particular ideology or cause, so they might misinterpret the information as well. So when you're looking back at those, you need to be careful. So when we're thinking about documents, there are likely to be ethical issues involved in using documents, as public documents are readily available to anyone who wants to use them. But some disadvantages are that they may not be reliable or valid. So, for example, government reports might use data in a biased way, and newspapers might be biased towards a particular political ideology or cause, so they may misinterpret the information. Now, content analysis is something that produces quantitative data about the context of qualitative documents. So content analysis, as we said, produces quantitative data, about the content of qualitative documents. So it does this by, for example, establishing categories and then analyzing documents and counting each time the number of category appears. Now, a researcher might, for example, wish to examine gendered language within daily newspapers to see which ones are more likely to employ gender stereotypes. And so they may look at gendered language within a newspaper and assign it to a certain category. So some advantages are that it's a cheap way of carrying out research into readily available documents, and it's reliable because it produces quantitative statistical data that can be easily checked. It also enables the discovery of things that might not have been obvious prior to the analysis, such as gender stereotyping in young adult fiction. Some disadvantages are that it might be unreliable because the rest of the categories that the researcher has chosen, they may skew the data somehow. And also it's descriptive rather than explanatory. So to recap those advantages of content analysis again, is that it's a cheap way of carrying out research into readily available documents. It's reliable because it produces quantitative statistical data that can be easily checked, and it enables the discovery of things that might not have been obvious prior to analysis. And the disadvantages, to recap them, you've got, this is a content analysis, they're descriptive rather than explanatory, and they might be unreliable. Now, to rewind a little bit, some disadvantage of documents as a whole is they may not be reliable or valid. Remember, for example, that governments might use data in a biased way when we're looking back at documents, and also that newspapers might have a bias towards particular political ideology, which can cause them to misinterpret certain bits of information. And some examples of personal documents, you've got letters, diaries, emails, school pupils' reports, medical files. And public documents might be things like reports produced by governments, charities, businesses, the media, also things like novels and autobiographies. So that is all we're going to look at in today's episode. Join us again next time when we're going to look at official statistics and how to think about those. I look forward to seeing you then. If this episode has got you in the mood for more revision, then head over to senecalearning.com where you can revise all of your A-level subjects absolutely free. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Anchor, then you will find a link in the bio. But if not, just type in senecalearning.com and you'll find us. While you're at it, if you could rate us 5 stars and subscribe or follow to all of our revised podcasts, which cover every subject you need, then that will help other people to find our podcasts.